Drupal Voices is short daily podcast interviews with people doing work in the Drupal community. Brought to you by the 2009 Do It With Drupal Seminar. This year's event takes place December 9th, 10th, and 11th in New Orleans, Louisiana. Come get practical advice and learn the site-building strategies of Drupal's top developers, and hear from experts in emerging technologies and the social web. For more information and registration rates, visit doitwithdrupal.com.
I'm Liza Sabater, and I'm publisher and web consultant. I publish Culture Kitchen and Daily Gotham, which are my ongoing Drupal projects. As a web developer right now, I am actually finishing a site for Rolf Punch Societies, which is a academic program for a minority and mostly minority students who want to follow the path of Rolf Punch, who was a UN diplomat for the United States, the first African-American man to actually win a Nobel Prize.
Okay, so what type of specific things are you doing from soup to nuts doing Drupal sites? Or, you know, what type of specific things are you just building and modules, gluing them together or doing module development?
I leave the module development for everybody else. I glue together sites. I actually, part of what I do, and sometimes I don't develop the sites, what I do is basically pre-project discovery and technological assessment. So most of the time, I usually engage from the board of directors to executive director to the technology people in an organization and kind of hold their hand in terms of their expectations and what they want on a new site, and then what are the different paths that they can take, given that, you know, everybody's, especially in the nonprofit world, they think about Obama's website and they think, oh, he raised $1 billion, I want that. And so there's, you know, a path to expectations that they need to have. And I'm one of those people that can actually talk to people with no technological background whatsoever and kind of break it down. And then once in a while, depending on the project, I will take it on as a web development project. And this is one of the cases in which I'm developing a project. It's not only a brochure site per se. They also will be doing fundraising through it. But also part of the program that they have is actually professional development for the students who become part of the organization. And so what I'm doing with Drupal is kind of creating a social networking site. Not kind of, because a lot of them are on Facebook, and so I don't want to create the expectation of this being a mini Facebook. But what it is basically creating secure spaces where the kids can open up their portfolios, open up their resumes, and get the kind of coaching that they need in order to get to the next level once they graduate. So it's creating the kind of place where it can foster cooperation, dialogue, discussion, smack down trolls. So it'll be very, very, I'm not expecting to happen with this particular site because of all the great features that have been developed as contributed modules in Drupal. And it's basically about creating a safe space for the students and the mentors and the alumni of the organization to work together and to kind of basically continue past their graduating and getting out of the Rolf Punch Society that they're from, to be able to come back and say, I want to be a mentor, or I want to be an employer, or I need more mentoring because, you know, I want to go to Africa and do some work with the United Nations or something like that. So that's what we're hoping for, and it's looking good. And, you know, I do some hacking on, in terms of, I always say that I'm not, within the Drupal parlance, a coder. Because this has a very specific meaning in the Drupal community, but I'm a hacker. And so, I mean, I can do a lot of modding and changing of modules that already exist. So I do know, you know, if I don't know PHP, I know who'll have the answer. Same with the Drupal APIs and all of that. So I can, you know, I'll read the code, I go through it, I'll do patches, I'll do whatever. And I usually hire coders if I need a particular specific kind of feature that needs to have more advanced development.
So it seems like you're doing two things in terms of either working with a company, specking out their information architecture, at least trying to set up, like, specking out a Drupal site, and then sometimes you do development. But in the first part, do you then hand that off to a development shop? Or do you?
Well, depends, because sometimes, most of the time right now, all the clients that I've had, they already either had their shops or have in-house developers. So not all the time I suggest to go with Drupal, depending on, you know, what they have in-house or who they've contracted. But it's a little bit more than just information architecture, because particularly with nonprofit organizations where, you know, most of the time they don't have a technology person in place, they don't have a web admin or a webmaster, it means that I have to sit down and restructure with them their workflow. And so, you know, well, you know, if you're in PR, if you're doing the marketing for the organization, you're going to have to learn this and this and this within the system so that you can make it work. That's the kind of hand-holding, because, you know, a lot of organizations want to have this, but they don't want, they either don't have the money to hire a technology expert, you know, to bring in a developer into their payroll, or they just really, you know, have not been informed correctly on what are the demands, especially with sites that involve either a social aspect, you know, social web aspect or multimedia. And also, you know, the all the issues involving also fundraising and creating, you know, whether you want to do just a button into, or do you want to use Rubricart or whatnot. And it's interesting because there's a couple of other women here that I've spoken to who are actually saying, you know, I'm starting to actually contract myself doing this, because I usually have done this for free as, you know, an advice to people. And I 2 years ago, I made the decision that, you know, this was going to be something that I was going to provide as a service, given my, you know, that, I mean, I've tested hundreds and hundreds of modules on Drupal, because I've, you know, wanted to build the best blogging platform I can for my own particular, you know, my own blogs, my own publications. And so you get to a level where you're going, I think I know more about this than a lot of people out there. Especially because a lot of Drupal developers are so focused on the modules that they develop that they don't necessarily are dealing with, like, real-life installations. And so somebody who's looking for the best image module might, like me, who is not a coder, might end up testing, you know, the 10, 12 different modules that are out there and going, oh, wait, if I actually use this module, I can use this other one, even though they have complementary features. And so that's happened with me with, and I'm writing a blog post about this, about there's a growing amount of modules that are using SimplePy that as an include in the coding itself, and they're not going with the SimplePy API, and then so they're breaking sites. So you can't use, you have to choose only one module, even though there's about five of them are complementary. So that's the kind of thing that, you know, people, builders like me, end up actually testing and trying out, and I think it's actually going to become more and more of a definitive skill within the Drupal community, because right now, last count, there was like 5,045 contributed modules, and maybe about 300 that are actively, like, a lot of people are using. So, you know, I've tested at about 150. And again, because I'm not a developer, you know, within the, you know, the Drupal community. And I, you know, in a way, I just feel like there's other people that do that best in terms of creating installation profiles and building sites. There's the class of us that actually are more in contact with the end user, because we're also end users ourselves.
And finally, maybe you could just, you know, aside from like Views and CCK and kind of the staple Drupal modules, you could sort of talk about some of your favorite modules that you've tested out and end up using either on your own site or recommend other people using.
Actually, right now, I'm loving the admin interface that Development Suite created. I think that's like, I'm including it now in every single site that I'm developing. For that, I'm actually using vertical tabs, which is, it takes all the tabs are in a entry form, a node entry form, and puts them vertically. So it kind of like cleans up the whole space, and it's not just this, you know, drop-down links. So I'm actually working a lot with how the admin and node entry section is looking. I'm loving the WYSIWYG API. Very, you know, that's an example of how about five different development, you know, groups were creating all these different WYSIWYGs modules and applications and basically decided to get together and create the API. And I really appreciate that. You know, that's really great. I've been using activity streams because I Twitter a lot, and I also use Flickr a lot and other, you know, I'm everywhere. I'm in friend feed, I'm in Facebook, and so it's nice to have all my entries in one place. Daily Twitter, I'm actually trying, you know, every time I see a bug, I send it out to the developer because it's fantastic. It's an awesome, awesome, awesome module for somebody who's a power Twitter like me. I Twitter on a bad day, maybe 50, 60 times. And so it's nice to have that as a blog entry. And actually, there's those entries, those blog entries of Daily Twitter are some of my most read blog entries on my site, which I'm fascinated. You know, if I write a blog entry, I'll get, you know, probably 100 hits. Hundreds of people are reading those, you know, because they're following them, then, you know, clicking into Twitter, and then they're following all these other people, which I'm using also the Identica module. So every time I post a blog, it goes into Identica, and then I'm using Identica instead of Twitter. Something, I don't know, Waka did something with the Twitter module that doesn't work for me. But I'm also using Identica to kind of like basically have redundancy with my microblogging. And so it comes back again through the Daily Twitter anyway, because I did from Identica goes to Twitter, Facebook, and then into my site. So I'm very much into trying all the modules that can either help in aggregating all the activity that I have online or serving as broadcasting points. And so I'm using that a lot. And last but not least, I'm loving the Flash Node module. Actually, I think compared to Flash Video and the video module, it is one of my favorite. And I think I really, really like it a lot. It really works beautifully. And I hope that, you know, it actually becomes a default video module for Drupal. So if they, what is it, use the FFmpeg, they really should merge those three into like one super duper video module. So, and I'm actually, because of this, I'm starting to maintain a Drupal notebook on my site, lizasabater.com, which is my personal site, where I'm finding like, you know, guys, merge. Or I'll say, this is an amazing blah, you know, module, but it's not working correctly because, you know, it breaks this other module or whatnot. So, so I'm starting to do that. I have a list of about 125 modules that I'm starting to review like that. So,
oh, nice. So it's sort of a module review and...
Yeah.
But it also seems that what's interesting is that you're a blogger, so you would think that, you know, WordPress would be a more sort of streamlined sort of platform. At what point did you decide that WordPress wasn't doing it and you went over to Drupal in order to get that?
I've been blogging since 2001, 2002. So the end of 2001 really took off in 2002. So WordPress didn't exist. It was B2. Which had been abandoned by the developer and became B2 Evolution and WordPress. So WordPress didn't really come into the scene about really after 2004, which, you know, was stable enough and took off at that time. And I was a movable type before moving into Drupal. And the only reason why I decided, there's two reasons. I have other bloggers on my site. So Drupal is fantastic for having multiple authors and managing workflows and managing communities. I have, you know, people that come in to my blogs and, you know, post on the calendar, post on the forums. And so that was the appeal. I didn't want to use Scoop. For that, I didn't want to migrate into Scoop. The second reason was security. I actually was one of the first blogs to get attacked by common spammers, and I brought down a whole API, IP. It was a whole disaster. The hosting company sued me, and I'm like, it's not my fault. You know, they tracked it down. Some Russian crazy lunatic was, you know, basically targeting specific women bloggers at the time. And that now happens frequently enough that there's a task force within the women blogging, feminist blogging community to kind of like, okay, I'm, you know, there's a denial of service attack on my blog. What do I do? And people, you know, we send them anti-hackers to help them. But it was basically that. I mean, I needed to deal with the it was at one point I was getting about 5,000 hits a day of common spam. And Drupal really cut that by literally, if I get, you know, 10, 15, that's a lot. But, you know, the system itself is really robust. It's really secure. And they're on top of, you know, security issues and patching and whatnot. So, and the spam system for the, you know, for Drupal is just excellent. So,
okay. Well, great. Thanks.
Thank you.